This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, Apex 2025 once again is Carm Capriotto. Remarkable results, the Town Hall Academy. I know that if you're watching on video, you're seeing a whole bunch of people in the studio. We have absolutely packed our studio. Thank you so much to Dan Vance from Shop Dog Marketing for sponsoring us here this year. You know, Dan says just like ice cream, more car count can sweeten your revenue. Shop Dog Marketing's free guide shows you how AI can bring in more repair orders every day. Transform your business now. Download Dan's guide and get started at shopdogmarketing.com. Thank you so much to our other traditional long-term great partners, Napa Trax, Today's Class, Kukui, and Pit Crew Loyalty.
Hey, let's face it, your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. And Napa Trax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane with on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Find Napa Trax on the web at napatrax.com. Hey, how well does your team know their stuff? Test their automotive skills with the Today's Class Basic, Advanced, or Service Advisor quizzes. It's a quick, effective way to spot gaps and grow stronger teams. Take the quizzes now at todaysclass.com/TC quiz. Shop owners, stop juggling multiple marketing tools. Kukui's integrated platform, they deliver 4 times better website conversions, automated follow-up, and real-time ROI tracking. Get industry-leading customer support with Kukui. That's KUKUI.com. You're probably tired of chasing new customers who never return. We understand. Pit Crew Loyalty ends the one-and-done cycle, turning first visits into lasting, reliable revenue. On the web at PitCrewLoyalty.com.
Hey, welcome. Do I have a team here? I have to tell you, you got to listen to this episode, and there's a whole bunch of reasons why. Because I'm standing there, the CEO of a great company from Australia. When I think in the industry, we think a lot, we hear about Europe, what's going on in Europe, and you know, what do they do over there? And Chris Cloutier and Craig O'Neill, everybody knows Craig from his podcast, To Speak Up, on the Auto Repair Podcast Network. And you guys both went to Australia. As the company Autoflow, you brought this company on board like you have with Christian Brothers. So they're kind of same with the franchise thing. And Craig says, listen, they're coming to 14-hour ride. Maybe we'll talk about that in a minute. And I said, yeah, I'd love to interview them. I actually interviewed some people from Australia about 5 years ago here at Apex, and I found it to be so, so interesting. But we're here with a really cool company, and I'm here with, it's Jax Tires and Auto, am I right?
Yes.
And right next to me is Steve Gross-Reeder, CEO of Jax Tires and Auto, and you are a franchise.
Correct.
I love it. I can't wait to hear about it. Look at how the back scenes of doing a great podcast work. I'm also with Dan Spiteri. Dan is a franchise owner, and he's also with Will Attard, who's the manager of your franchise. And rumor has it you guys are going for what, number two?
Yeah, that's correct. Number two.
Good for you. And also with us is Craig O'Neill, and as I said, Chris Cloutier. God, did you get on that flight? Was it 14 hours to go to Australia?
It was actually 17 hours for us to get to Australia.
Where you
from? Dallas.
From Dallas?
Yeah. We'll talk about this later, about customer experience and delighters and everything. 17 hours on a plane that doesn't have internet or Wi-Fi. Can you believe that?
Wait a minute.
Yeah. That's insane.
What were you on, Frontier?
You would have thought.
I had to buy the peanuts and the pretzels, but they gave me a 2-for-1. Anyway, this is going to be a fun episode because you know what I care about in a really big way? You have a technician shortage down there like we have here? Steve, what are you doing about it?
Surprise.
Tell me about what you guys are, I mean, retention, recruitment. I mean, we're suffering here. Maybe not suffering. There's some shops that it just doesn't matter to them because they're always recruiting and they've got great programs that keep great people. How are you guys working that? I mean, why you're here listening to this thing with this Australia team? He says, we're not the only ones in this entire worldwide aftermarket that have a little suffering going on. You're suffering only as much as you let yourself suffer. I believe that. I think there's a lot of solutions. What are you doing about it?
So look, there's no one solution or silver bullet for this problem. This is an industry problem. And we have the same challenges that the repair shops have in the US. The thing that surprises me most at the moment is that we're fishing for resources in one pond. And we've really got to open up this other pond, which is the, you know, the female, you know, resource pool.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to make this more inclusive, but the real beauty about being a mechanic. So I was a mechanic by trade 20 years ago. It didn't have a spark to it. It was a dirty role. Now with the technology, the software, the technology that's coming in, the software platforms, we really not only need to solve the resource problem by, you know, say fishing, you know, apologies for the terminology, fishing in this other, we've got to open up and fish in both ponds, but we've also got to bring that diversity in, because the challenges that we're facing with new technology, more diversity into the automotive will help us actually, you know, solve these problems quicker and execute quicker.
Okay, what roles do you see the females playing?
So, for example, I see a diagnostic technician, someone doing the inspections, you know, on the motor vehicle, a wheel alignment, you know what I mean? A wheel alignment is something that's critical to a tire shop, you know, if a repair shop does tires as well. A wheel alignment technician worth their weight in gold. This is not necessarily, I would call, it's a very, very, you know, mathematical type, you know, diagnostic skill, and there's a skill in doing wheel alignments. And when someone's doing the wheel alignments and they're doing them well, the repair shop find them very, very valuable. They're a valuable resource, worth their weight in gold. So straight away, I think we need to change the name. Not wheel alignment, it should be, you know, technician, and it could be alignment technician. With ADAS coming in, all of a sudden, there's an alignment there for, you know, diagnosing and calibrating this technology. It's got to be done from an industry point of view. So in Australia, we work with AAAA, and we're actually talking about this as an industry problem. I don't want our mechanics or our technicians to go outside the industry. I'd rather them go to a competitor. We've got to keep the technicians in the industry. So we've got to stop and reflect on this and say, how do we make the technicians in this industry more mobile? Now, do I want my technicians to go to a competitor? No, but I don't want them to go to another industry and lose a technician. So we have to not only retain the technicians, we've actually got to have a multi-pronged approach. We've got to breed them in-house. We've got to come up and look at new ways of bringing diversity in into the industry. We've got to have apprenticeship schemes. When I did my apprenticeship, it was 4 years. That felt like a lifetime for me when I was 15. You just talked about not having Wi-Fi on a plane for, you know, for 17 hours. It's like jail, right? You know what I mean? So what does a four-year apprenticeship mean for a technician today? It's probably longer than what I thought it was. So how do we fast-track that? How do we bring them in? How do we make sure that there's escalations? I'm very fortunate, one of my franchisees here, we've got a career path that you come into Jack's, you can own your own store and be very, very successful. We've got to make those career paths. We've got to keep them in the industry, and we've got to make it just a little bit more fun and exciting. I look at the technology and I think to myself, this is really good, but we've got a PR issue. So long answer, but a PR issue.
Listen, you all can leave because me and Steve are just going to talk about the language shift, everything. He said the word career is my favorite word. It's almost like he's a brother from another mother. Because you two know how hard I'm working in the industry to do this language shift. Here it is. I'm going to give you a copy of it. And so many of the things that you're saying are the things that I believe we could lift the industry in a much more professional way. You said other industries. We don't want them to go to other industries. But yet, on the advisory board that I am at a college here in Buffalo, guess what we hear? Yeah, they left and they went to Department of Transportation for the government. They went to diesel. They went to welding. They have toolbox on wheels. So they could just about go anywhere because they weren't not necessarily satisfied with the career path. It's like, wow. And oh, by the way, just as an FYI, no Wi-Fi. That's why we built our new app, so you could download all the episodes and you could listen to them when you have no Wi-Fi. Oh my God, I got to get that. Okay. Automotive Repair podcastnetwork.com/app. Sorry, that was a commercial. Dan, you don't work with this guy, but you work with this guy as a franchisee. And when you hear this message that comes from your CEO, it does it ring true? And then how do you go about making those changes happen?
Look, it does. Our struggles that we have over in Australia are no different than what you have over here. A very big part of our problem is getting people into the industry. At a local level, I've got my bit that I can do. So, you know, we can go to local high schools. We can talk to kids that are maybe, you know, getting ready to graduate and want to start an apprenticeship. We get a lot of school leavers that are a little bit younger, so 16 years of age, 15 years of age, that might want to fast track getting out of school and get into an apprenticeship with us. But I can only control that at a local level. So the support from Jackson Steve to go bigger with that and look nationally has really helped.
It's scary, guys, how parallel this is. Mm-hmm. It is scary. And I guess it's comforting to know that there's other people in this. Do they say across the pond at all anymore? Well, like we talk about England. Yeah. England's across the pond, but this one is way over the lake, maybe.
Carm, and that's why we wanted to do this, right? Because one of the things when me and Craig took the visit across the pond, we thought we were going to see something different. We really did. We thought, wow, the toilet's going to flush the opposite direction for sure.
Oh, does it?
No, it doesn't. Please help me, it doesn't. No. We didn't find a toilet would flush properly. But we thought, like, somehow it's going to be, they're going to rack cars different. They're going to turn their wrenches the wrong way or something.
Did you bring any equipment to test that swirl at
no,
all?
No, we didn't, unfortunately.
So maybe you're not.
But we went all that way to find that we're very similar in what we do, right? They fix cars. They service the customer. They care about the customer. That asset is one of the most valuable assets of their customers and how they treat the experience for the customer and how they treat their technicians and how they treat their... So it was very similar, which is not shocking, but it was kind of shocking, right? That's the interesting thing about all this.
You were going to say?
I was going to say the toilet thing's a new invention for us, but no.
We've already gone downhill. All right, okay. And I apologize. It was me pushing that idea. You mentioned customer service. I did a mastermind today, and when one of the topics that this group wanted to talk about was client expectations. I told this to you earlier, and I want to share it with you, Steve. But going to our people and our team and saying, listen, I'm about ready to hire a new position in the company called a CXO. And you stop and you look them all in the eye. And he says, well, we must be doing really well. He's going to hire a new chief of something, right? Mm-hmm. And we go around the room and I says, listen, this new position is the client experience officer. And no, really, we're doing well, but I really can't hire for that position. So what we've decided to do is put a comma after your name, your current title, and another comma called CXO. So we want to talk together as a group and say, what is it that we have to do to make sure that our client experience from minute one to minute 60, we're completely done and they want to come back, know, like, and trust us, you see. And I say the word client on purpose because then I want someone to look, and then somebody says customer. I says, no. There's a prospect, there's a customer, and then there's a client. And it's the client relationship that you're looking to build, like we have. Attorneys have clients and accountants have clients. And so why shouldn't we have a client who wants to be our customer here in this automotive repair shop because they love us and like us? So I'm hearing you guys, is your initiative at Jax all about making sure that we're doing everything right for the client?
And just a little bit about my background. I've worked with motoring clubs most of my working life. So and spent a lot of time with the AAA. So big shout out. These are the kings of customer service and the AAA does a fantastic job. So I've been born and bred, and my management upbringing has been with service culture. But they're mutuals and they do, you know, for their members. I came into Jax and saw this great model, great engagement of staff, but they were product focused. So everything that we've done today links back to our customer centric strategy. And, you know, Dan, today, every store, their success is linked back to the customer journey. We've got one of the highest NPS scores in the industry, and we won multiple awards for it. And it's up there in the high 80s, but we get it wrong every day. And what makes, you know, our model so good is that these franchisees who are the real X factor in Jax, they work out what went wrong, how do I improve it, how do I save the customer relationship, because they've just got really good intentions. And I think, you know, these two gentlemen over here, I meet a lot of people in my day-to-day job. Not many people surprise me. These two surprised the hell out of me. Not because of what they were delivering for us, because they already got our culture and they just gelled with our culture. To be honest with you, I know we got a contract with these guys. I don't even know how much the contract was because
we just tripled it today, yeah. Which was interesting. Yeah, so you're going to get the bill next. That's weird because, but don't worry about it. It'll be after you get home.
So to answer the question,
good answer.
We've got this customer centric culture, which to be honest with you, I'd put it up against anyone and I'll stand by that. They live and breathe it. We act nationally, execute, you know, locally. These guys own their business. They drive me like there's no tomorrow. I've got to be honest. I've never been driven so much by the franchise network. Our strategy is very clear. We're in our lane. We know where we're going. We've got this customer-centric culture that everything we do links back to it. And these guys just brought us in some technology and some software that will power this culture.
A wraparound.
Yeah. So, again, it's priceless for us. This technology is priceless for us because we've got the culture. The technology, the change piece is the hardest piece to do. So when you talked about resources and you opened up with resources, it's the resources that we need. Because as we're growing and we're growing really quickly, We can't Jaxify them quick enough, you know what I mean, these resources. We talk about drinking the Kool-Aid. It's the Jax Kool-Aid, and it's customer-centric Kool-Aid that we really try and embed. Everything is centered around that. These guys say, we're lucky that we got a CEO that is customer-centric. You just mentioned a CXO role. That's my dream job. I've been in customer experience all my life. I would love to be a customer experience officer. It just doesn't pay the bills. But someone said to me once, you are lucky because you're the CEO that you can make change. I got to answer to shareholders. And honestly, everyone thinks customer service is a good idea. Everyone. But do they actually walk and talk it? These two guys, honestly, when they walked in, I've just gone, oh my goodness, you know what I mean? And as I said, I've worked with, you know, AAA brands, some really good customer-centric people, live and breathe it. And the franchise model, actually, every store is linked their revenue growth to customer-centric metrics. They just got it. It just died. It just clicked. And these guys do a really good job. So I'm very, very lucky, you know what I mean? So as we grow, as I said, if I lose my quick sense of wit, you know what I mean, I'm in a bit of trouble. So.
No, you could be the CXO.
Might be a pay cut by the sound of it.
Listen, jump in. Steve is, he's on a roll. He's saying, he's dropping names and words and concepts and strategies like no tomorrow. In fact, he used the C word here just a few minutes ago, culture. And boy, it would be so neat.
Is that the C word?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the C word.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, here in the U.S., it's the C word. I'm sorry if you thought something different.
Oh, no. I'm just a visitor. I'm here to learn.
Let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Transform your team with today's class, where automotive training is easy, quick, and fun. Just 5 minutes a day on our app can eliminate hours of looking up forgotten information later. It's perfect for technicians, advisors, and managers alike. Keep critical knowledge fresh and top of mind, ensuring your team operates at peak efficiency. Today's class is impactful, accessible from anywhere, and a bit of fun too, and we're not talking about after-hours pizza either. For training that gets results, turn to todaysclass.com. Shop owners, we know you are overwhelmed with a flood of missed calls, empty bays, and disconnected marketing tools. Kukui has spent over a decade building one integrated platform for auto repair shops. One login, one dashboard, and mobile-first websites that convert four times industry average. Smart, innovative CRM with automated follow-up, 24/7 online booking, and real-time ROI tracking. With 900-plus years of combined team experience, we fuel the growth of 2,200-plus shops and have influenced $3 billion in revenue. Stop working harder. Start working smarter. Get industry-leading customer support and book a demo with Kukui. That's KUKUI.com. You know, most shop owners feel trapped spending on ads while half their first-time customers never come back. It's frustrating. It's exhausting. And it's not your fault. The industry average is 54% one and dones. We understand how discouraging that can be. Well, Pit Crew Loyalty changes the story. Our clients cut that rate by up to 38%, raising lifetime value by more than 50%. Loyalty members visit nearly three times more often, creating predictable revenue without extra ad spend. Pit Crew Loyalty, where customers stay and shops thrive. On the web at pitcrewloyalty.com.
When Chris and I went over there, we observed the culture and it was perfect alignment. And there's a little bit of terminology difference, though, that we ran into. One of the terms that I've heard Steve use, and I've heard Dan, and I've heard Will use it as well, moments that matter. I loved hearing that. It's not a phrase we've used very often here. And I think that Dan has captured this. I think Will, as an implementer, Dan had a great vision. He understood everything. Will comes in to the whole process. He's the actual guy that's working with the techs. He had initial concerns, right? But once they started engaging in those key moments that matter, they were starting to see the results. Everything just aligned. Like you talk career paths. One of the things I heard, Will, we were talking earlier, you raised up some of the people in the business that are in there now as apprentices. Is that right?
Yeah, done that for the most of our staff, to be honest.
Nice.
Yeah.
How's the culture with you?
The culture in
our What is the culture?
Work hard, get the job done, and do the job once.
It's the behavior of the people, yep. Right? It's the belief, it's the purpose. How many bays does a typical place have?
They all vary.
Give me an average. Six, seven?
Eight bays.
Eight bays.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a thunderstorm going off on Bay 8?
Multiple times.
Okay, there's a culture problem. Yeah. Has to be fixed. Well, can't control the weather. Inside the business, we can.
This is the thing. When we did a visit, we did this store visit, Carm, and there wasn't a single body holding still in this shop. That was, for me, as far as shop visits go, Steve is there, a whole bunch of the other organizations there to see things showcased. And I was just amazed. Like, we were just trying to stay out of the way of all the staff that was working inside of the shop that day. And they just kept going and they were absolute champions. For me, it was just, I keep calling Dan and his shop like a unicorn implementer for technology because they just embraced it, went with the change and seemed to be going with it. I don't see it with that level of enthusiasm here as often. I feel like I'm fighting that. What I observed was a work ethic and a culture that just went at it full speed.
Processes win wars. How hard do you work, Dan, on, is it a total company process or does the individual franchisee develop it for his community, his people?
Look, it's a combination of both.
All right.
The Jack's model covers about 80% of how we would operate over in Australia, but I think how you implement it in your own business is going to be slightly different store to store. When it comes to our team and our people, so a little bit earlier about when I was saying recruiting and getting people out of high school, I think a big part of culture change is as an owner, it starts with you. So I challenge people that I talk to quite regularly in one simple question. Why did you buy a business? Why did you get into business? What we find over in Australia is you have a mechanic or somebody who's been in the automotive industry but may not necessarily be qualified that thinks getting in and owning their own business is going to be beneficial for them. Doesn't mean they're going to be good at it. If you want to get into business and you want to run a successful shop, then you need to lead from the top down. So when we talk about our processes, our Jack's processes, the processes that I've got in my own individual store, I lead by example. My favorite job in the place is to actually get away from running it and work on the tools. I prefer to be buried in a bay somewhere, dirty, just changing oil, changing brakes, doing the mechanical aspects of what we do. I enjoy that the most.
How often do you do that?
As much as I can.
What? And you're the franchisee owner?
I am.
Yep. Wow. So who's really running the business for you?
Will.
Ah. Will.
So again, growing people. The second part to it is don't let your ego get in the way.
Oh my, yes.
Once you get into your business and you've got your processes right, you've got your business set up, you need to let people flourish. You can't keep getting in their way. You can't keep pushing them down. Otherwise, they're just going to view themselves as employees. And then it becomes a challenge of retention. You know, if your competitor is going to offer $5 more per hour, they're going to jump ship for $5 more per hour. So, you know, I think the reason why we have such a good team and why we excel at everything that we're doing at the moment is because we're all in it together. There's no real hierarchy of control there. It's systems, process, passion, and execution.
Wow. Buried in the bays.
So one of the things me and Craig observed when we showed up is we pulled into Dan's parking lot and it's a small parking lot. We're like, man, there's not a lot of spaces in here. So we didn't really want to park in one of the spots that was potentially a customer parking. And one of the first things we said was, well, you don't have a lot of spaces. And Dan's like, yeah. And then the conversation happened with how efficient he has to be, right? You think about that, right? How efficient his bays have to be, how efficient his people have to be, how quickly they understand that they only have limited resources to make sure they're moving things in and out, right? So it was awesome. And immediately right there, we were like, hey, same problems once again. And they really understood what they were and how they're serving their people. The people at the front counter, wonderful people that, you know, they're very nice people. I don't know. Steve was saying that we're super nice people. And I'm like, I don't know. Most people, I think, that want to curse at you and spit on you on the street, at least in Vegas. In Texas, we're a little bit nicer because we say y'all and things like that. But super nice, just super kind, like people at the counter and how they dealt with their customers. It was amazing. Once again, like halfway around the world to see something that's very similar to what a lot of us strive for in our own industry here in the U.S.
So good to hear. You mentioned high school, Dan, and you mentioned it earlier too about recruiting. What are you doing about it? I mean, are you going out talking to schools? Are you talking to counselors? Are you talking to principals? I don't know what your terminology in education is. What are we doing to say, by the way, we are in a high tech career? That's what we are. No one wants to stop and realize it's not mechanics anymore.
No, it's as much electronics and computers now as it is spinning spanners. Look, it's a two-pronged approach, right? So Steve and the franchise all, you know, do a really great job. The HR team, Jack's doing an incredibly good job of. We have apprentice networks in Australia that are national and, you know, they do a lot of MTA association. They'll get out and do a lot of high school visits. We do a lot of trade events where we get displays in and Jacks get, you know, young kids to come and register their interests. So that's the national level. And I'm sure Steve could tell more to that. But locally, we have quite a few high schools in our local area. To me, I think the only way that we're going to succeed in this industry is to grow our own. So, you know, it's all well and good to go and get an experienced mechanic that's maybe been in the industry for 20 years, but the reality of it is he's going to be chasing dollars, he's going to be chasing conditions, and the longevity of that, I don't know how that's going to work. But if you can get a kid that's passionate about cars and just wants to be given a go, then, you know, the best time to get them is when they get out of high school. Before they start to get into this, you know, I want to go and drive a forklift for $30 an hour, or I want to go and drive a truck for $20 an hour, or, you know, they feel that there is an opportunity there to get in, get their trade, get their certificate. And then more importantly, once they've done that, future growth. So, you know, I'm not quite sure how the licensing and trade systems work over here, but in Australia, once you've got your trade certificate, there's then further education we can send people.
Trade certificates. Let's not go there right now. I'd love to find that all out, licensing, but maybe another episode at a different time.
We're not big on regulation here.
Yeah. What I want my listener to realize, you're listening to Australians, and it sounds like we're listening to U.S. or North American shop owners with the same challenges. And you said per dollars per hour, so you're not a pound or anything out there.
No,
dollars. Your dollars. Can I ask you what a average wage for, say, a great 10-year person would be? Look, is it 25, 30, 40?
It varies significantly state to state. So you need to remember, Australia is almost the size of America. It's an incredibly large company. Sorry,
country. Yeah.
If we look from one side to the other, over in WA, for argument's sake, which is our western border,
yeah,
the industry over there is very heavily flooded with mining. So a mechanic in the mining sector would earn triple what, you know, a mechanic would earn at a normal automotive shop. So even within our industries, we are competing with other sub-industries where mechanics are required.
Is it like way out in the country, people would have to move or drive there? Yeah. So that allows you to have some kind of employment pool.
So it's very common over there for people to fly out of a Sydney center, say a city center like Sydney. They would go over to Perth, do 4 days on, and then they would fly back and do 4 days off. So they work for 4 days, have 4 days
Perth,
off.
Sydney, how far away are they?
Same distance from LA to New York.
Oh, okay. LA to New York.
Yeah.
It's nothing in the middle.
Really?
You don't want to break down.
We call that the flyover.
It's the outback.
Yeah, the outback.
Very much the outback.
One more thing that I really liked, and I want to brag on Steve. So not only we get to go spend a day at Dan's shop, which was awesome, but then we got to go spend a day at corporate office. And I think Steve needs to talk more about, you know, we talked about, he touched on this earlier, which me and Craig are super focused on, is the customer journey. Right, not just the customer experience, but he used that term, customer journey, and understanding the ins and outs of how to deal with a customer, deal with them properly. And I think that's important, right? I think people don't understand the journey. A lot of times shop owners don't really understand. It is a journey. It's not just fixing a car. There's a whole connection piece that we need to make. It's not just transactional, and we got to be careful about just transaction, right? So that was one of the things I really liked. He gave us a really great presentation. And once again, that's when we found that this is the kind of company that we wanted to, you know, work with and work together with.
We've mapped out, you know, all our segmentation into customer journeys just as an initial stage to help us develop the technology required to move from customer service to customer experience to customer connection. So whilst we have a customer journey, it's really, really important. That customer journey changes depending on where you are in your stage of life. You know what I mean? So we know that, we joke about it. I try and, you know, tell my franchisees our omni-channel needs to be like Hotel California. You know, once you come into it, you can never leave. And if we do our job right with the customer journey, we build that trust and transparency, and we will have them for life. So this is why resourcing's, you know, such an issue. But before I touch on the customer centricity piece and the customer journey, We've partnered with someone who's doing a great job in Australia, Ryan from mechanic.com. He's built a business where he goes to schools, he goes to expos events, and he has sponsors, you know, of mechanic.com. So Jax is one of the major sponsors, and some of my competitors are sponsors. So if someone's interested in a scheme there, they automatically can get signed up to Jax. And so that's just one mechanism.
It's a brilliant idea.
The other thing, he runs a pool for mechanics. So you can go on there, hints and tips and, you know, things and things. But also, if you're moving to a different state, you know, you go on there, and if someone's looking for a mechanic, they can go on there. He's a really clever guy. Need to speak to this. He came and introduced himself to me, very similar to these two guys. Within about 3 months, we're signed up. We're going. We're, you know, full steam ahead. Great idea from the industry, and he knows that we have to be treated as an industry. So mechanic.com, look it up. Brian.
You think about that, an advocate for our industry. Our shop owners here in the U.S. know they need to do these things, and they seem not to because they're in the bays working. Right, Dan? Anyway.
where he likes to be.
Yeah, I know that's where he likes. But for someone to be out there in the world, in the action, and trying to be an advocate for the professionalism of this high-tech industry, I love that concept. Do we have anything like that in the U.S.? Are there any companies? I mean, obviously, you probably have to pay to be in his zone so that he could recommend people to go to you. Am I right? You have to pay to be part of that? Yeah. Okay, you do.
But remember, I want my team and my network to focus on customers. So we partner with specialists. That's why we partnered with these guys. You know what I mean? I want Dan not to be thinking about how we can make his business better. I want Dan to focus on the moments that matter. So you spoke about store size. We have 3 store sizes. When they come into Jax, we usually start them off with about 6 bays. We have, it's not a policy, it's just a philosophy that we don't like multi-franchisees. We want the franchisees to underwrite the customer experience for their territory. So we're all in on franchising. So we have clubs. We have the 200 club. We have the 300 club, then we go to the 500 club. Now, that's gross profit they make per month. So when they get to 200, they're always thinking, I like this model.
Wait a minute, is that $200?
200,000 GP a month, yeah. So the high volume model.
That's kind of what I thought.
So rather than the franchisee looking for another site, you know, I want that franchisee to underwrite the customer experience. We build and we turn them into a superstore. Another initiative that, and look, I can't take the credit for this. This has come from the franchisees, because there is an element of risk and resourcing flows into it. That's why I wanted to talk about when you get to, you're comfortable. To make the next step, you have to invest in more equipment, more bays, more technology, more risk. However, when you explain it to a franchisee like Dan to say, you've got one risk, you've got one rent here on the building. How do we turn your store into a superstore? Might be the store next door. Their mind space shifts so we can actually move them to the next level. Then when they get to 500, I said, we've got such an incredible omni-channel. We have to use our website to make you money while your store is not open. And a good example is that our consumer promise is peace of mind driving. And our customer journey and our segmentation says that we should be selling baby seats. We don't sell baby seats. We're automotive. However, you know, a franchise said, why wouldn't we, because we're brand agnostic, why wouldn't we have all the best baby seats or baby capsules on our website? You know, we're not looking to make any money off it. We sell it. But if you actually want it delivered to your house, Prime will deliver it to your house, or come into Jax and get a free fitment, so a safety fitment, because it's regulated in Australia. Inspection, customer, you know, all of a sudden the customer journey, it just delivers to our consumer prompts. This is the franchisee telling me, you know, let's fit baby seats. And I'm going, and then I thought to myself, you know what? That could happen overnight, you know what I mean? And then you come in, you do the inspection, you know what I mean? And then and we actually, these customers are concerned about safety. They're going to want a safety inspection on their car. So franchisees come up with these ideas. I just got to work out how to execute them. So to credit to these guys.
Are you saying that the car seat fitment is regulated?
Yeah, it's got to be fitted by
a license. It has to be fitted.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unless, you know, the parents fit it. Parents can fit their own.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a difference.
One of the things that was so powerful that Steve said was, okay, I want my second store. And he'll sit in front of you and say, have you maxed? Are we at capacity?
Well, Carm,
what else can we do?
Dan is opening a second store, which Will is going to run. So
I know that. And maybe he was sending you a message. No, but I'm sure. No, yeah. I'm only. No.
If you're listening to this and you're making X and you're ready to go out and buy the guy down the road because he's for sale and you could get a hell of a deal, it may not be the best move if you're not doing what you should be doing in your normal place.
Well, look, just to that. Steve's right. It'd be incredibly rare for someone in our franchise network to own 2 stores, but this isn't a normal situation. So back to what I was saying earlier about growing your own. Will came to me during COVID, and COVID for us in Australia, like the rest of the world, was a pretty bad time. But not long after Will started, he really demonstrated to me that he was definitely going to be able to run the place. He could probably do it better than I could, but he wasn't going to stick around forever. So over the last 3 years, we've put together a plan, and that plan is Will is my succession plan. So again, the reason why I bought a business and why I got into a business was not because I want to be a shop owner for the next 30 years of my life. It was an investment. I wanted to get in, build my business up and sell it off. Will is the next logical buyer. He's the next step. He's the one that should take over from
me. But he needs to have his own place in the meantime.
He does. So it's a staged process. The shop that we are going into for our second facility is a business partnership. Will's not my employee. He's my business partner.
But he'll still be under the franchise rules.
He'll be the dedicated. And the thing that Dan's missing, dedicated franchisee for one store, dedicated someone owns the customer experience. Must be underwritten by the franchisee who must be in the store.
Wow. How many franchisees do you have?
We've got just under 100 stores.
Wow.
So we're only little compared to you guys, you know what I mean? So
I don't think that's little.
It's not, especially for Australia, the market. But what I hear in this is career track.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can only put 5 stores on a year, because the induction program for us. So we have a full working store in our head office. And the first 2 weeks before they go out there, we teach them their customer journey, the whole customer side, before they even fix a car. You know what I mean? They must understand the customer journey, our strategy, how it links back to customer centricity. And you know, recruitment process is pretty tough on these guys. However, I like to meet every franchisee and tell them that they're going to be very successful, and I back that, but they're going to work really hard, and you must own the customer experience, you know what I mean? And we're all in it together. So, you know, these guys, they deliver it. I don't deliver it, they deliver it. So you talked about the CXO. I got 100 of them, and they're all running their own store. So no one owns customer experience. We all own.
That's exactly the strategy, and that's how it should work. Interesting, today I led a mastermind class, and one of the discussion points was trying to find people and what's the succession opportunity for any shop owner. So it doesn't matter what age. I mentioned to them, because I've heard from other shop owners in the US, that if there's somebody sitting across from you, one of the questions you need to ask them is, what do you want to do when you grow up? I mean, what do you got planned? And I am sure that Will gave you an indication that he, as you said, like to own a place. And that, to me, is a person you'd say, well, he might stay for a while, but leave because he's going to work it from home. And then, you know, he'd do a side gig and then own a store. But if you got a glimmer that this person wants to be in leadership, management, ownership, you got a superstar in your team. You not need to know what to do with it.
Well, that was the perfect answer. When I asked him that question, his answer was, I want to be you. So he wanted to own a shop.
Man,
you gotta encourage it.
I want to be you. I mean, it's a goosebump moment right there, isn't it?
Yeah. Hence why I stay in the bays and spin the spanners and he runs the shop.
But you know what? It's a key example of you've got to look after your resources. You know what I mean? You got to not only treat them well, you got to encourage them, and there's opportunities there. And our four pillars of success, one of them is about our staff, you know, and treating them and getting them involved in the decision making. It's a tough road. We got to retain. Yes, we need more people in there, but you must retain your staff as a priority.
I want to say, Carm, you know, he wants to be like me. Craig said that to me as well, and I'm still waiting for him to shave his head. So hopefully it's coming, and maybe we can do an episode on that, and maybe we can shave it live.
I would love that.
That would be awesome. I think that would be one of the highest rated shows ever. Everybody in the room now is like on board.
They will donate money to that.
They're going to donate money. We can make it a fundraiser. Craig, there you go. Now you can be like me and look like me.
Is that real hair, Craig?
It is. Yeah. I don't want to be like you anymore.
Have I lost control of this episode or what?
No, it's just I figured I wanted to add to that discussion. I thought it was pertinent to add to that.
I love it. What I'm taking away, obviously the franchise thing is a unique and different thing that we have in our industry, a lot of respected franchises. But what we've discovered here between Australia and the U.S., is, man, we are riding a parallel path down the road. There's only 14 hours difference in an airplane, right? How many miles is it?
You have to ask them kilometers.
They have dollars, but then kilometers? How's that work?
I know, right? Yeah, this is the thing. So at least they use minutes and hours the way we do, but the temperature's all different. And
the dates are around the other way.
The date codes, the date instead of first, it's what, month? Date.
Oh, wait a minute.
We've had to make some modifications for the, and they spell tire T-Y.
T-Y-R-E, right?
I don't understand. Like, when Americans created America, why we had to complicate everything. Because I feel like if we would have just stayed on the metric system and we'd spell tire or tire, but it feels like America just had to be different.
We can drop the Y for you guys.
Thank you.
Was it fun, different, interesting, your trip to Australia?
Well, I could just listen to them talk all day.
Yeah.
For me, it was also kind of cool to go over there and get to be the guy with the accent. Which was just kind of a neat thing. I don't know if it helped anyone pay attention any better.
It did. Good.
Yeah. So I figured me and Chris should just put on our accents a little different. Chris should go full Texan. I should go full Midwest. Hey, how are you? And it would be a lot more fun. But I mean, we have had fun. I think it's fun because they abbreviate everything under the sun.
Hey, the next time if you go together, get a wig, look like him, will you?
Carm, I didn't say I want to be like Craig. Craig said he wanted to be like me. I think you missed that earlier.
No, I'm saying it would be easier for you to get the wig than him to give up his
hair. Don't discourage Craig like that. Let's make sure we're keeping him on this path.
He won't give up his hair.
I know. He won't.
No, right. Let's wrap this up. I've so enjoyed this. I've had a lot of fun. What else should we know about the Australian market that maybe is different than the U.S.?
Honestly, there's not really a huge difference.
There isn't. How about training? Where are we getting the education to bring to our people? In fact,
I have something. Like, we have a lot of deer collisions here. They hit kangaroos.
Okay, that's different.
It's very different.
Or wombats. Wombats are more.
Yeah.
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 Wow. Honey, keep your eye out for a kangaroo.
No, our mammals are big and maybe a little scary. You guys think bears are scary or something, right? Like, because your bears are puny little bears, except for the drop bears.
We don't have bears.
I personally just have lots of fun talking about the things that are just culturally different. They have the snakes and the spiders and everything else. We have the big mammals. They have big marsupials. I don't know.
Thank you for bringing that up. I needed to know that.
That's different.
Thank you for bringing the kangaroo thing in, because when I was a kid, that's what we learned about Australia. It was a kangaroo thing.
Yeah.
And they had pouches and all that stuff.
By the way, they were going to take us to the zoo to go see a kangaroo. We're like, well, we've seen kangaroos at the zoo. We wanted to see one on the highway. That's what we wanted to see. So,
if we can train them up to be technicians, we'll take them.
Let's end this thing about education. What are you doing? I mean, do you have a training team staff, Steve?
And we do have a training manager. But again, we've partnered with another great partner who's specializing in that. And it's interesting. I've learned a lot over the last couple of days being at SEMA. Given that we're always thinking about the customer and the next journey, the whole industry is talking about ADAS, and the industry will solve this issue. We always do that. It's such a fantastic industry that gets into the new technology in the aftermarket and does it. But I'm saying to my team, no one's talking to the customer. If you said to a customer today, your car's fitted with ADAS, they would look at you quite funny. We know it in the industry. What does this mean? It's lane departure, you know, warnings, all this sort of stuff, the products and features. So in Australia, I really feel that we've got to get ahead of the curve in Australia and start communicating that your car has ADAS, not for any other reason, because we will be able to recalibrate, reset those things. The customer doesn't know that the vehicle needs to be recalibrated, and the industry hasn't got the best reputation. So we've spent so much time on, you know, these guys with their software is helping us do that. We talk about trust in our brand vision. You can't get trust unless you're trustworthy. How do you get trustworthy is through transparency and professionalism. I really feel that there's a communication piece out there to the consumer about ADAS, because it will be quite costly, you know, and may require some more level of diagnostic, some more labor, you know, involved in it, might even not be able to get done on that day.
That costs how much to turn that light off?
Correct. So how do we manage that into our customer experience, into our utilization of that?
Right.
This is the bit where, and again, I was kind of a little bit worried because no one in Australia is thinking about it. I'm thinking, good, Jax, we got to get moving, want to be out there. But I'm refreshed to see that you guys have been talking about this. You've been talking to your customers about it, which is really, really good. So I've made some really good contacts. They're going to send me some material. I think that this is a great thing, and you guys have done, by the looks of it, you're educating your customer about this new technology. What does it mean for them?
I think we are, but I think we're missing the mark. Are you calibrating? Are you going to calibrate if a vehicle needs it? Say an alignment. I mean, you're big in tires, so if you had a major alignment, have you invested in ADAS calibration?
Well, you know, our partner over here, I think GPC or NAPA over here, we partner with their sister company, which is Repco. They've got a solution for us, and we'll outsource that solution. We'll manage the customer. But it's not about the technical solution. It's about the customer interaction. How do we explain to this customer? How will you know your car's calibrated? It's driving exactly the same. You know, I mean, like so this educational piece about this technology.
It's huge.
It needs to be done.
It's huge. And I guess I asked the question about education, but I was also worried or concerned about what are you doing to keep all of your technicians up to speed. You said you have a training manager. Are they writing their own code, or are you going out to a partner, like you said? Yeah. Are they coming in store? Are your people going out?
The training manager works with the outsource provider to customize the training. So we Jaxify it to make sure that
it's Jaxify?
Customer sent. It's the same training, but we make sure that the customer's involved. What's the language we use for the customer? Not right. The piece about the ADAS, this is not a technician. Yeah, this is a front counter person. You know, the person at the front counter of the store will be educating the customer, you know, on this technology. So we need to be training them, not the technicians. The technicians are working on this and they're unreal. They'll have a solution. We'll have a solution. It's the communication to the customer.
Like a communication specialist.
Moments that matter. We talk about moments that matter. This will be a moment that matters. Yeah. And if you get that moment right.
Yeah. We're so guilty on our counters to tell people, well, we got to do an ADAS calibration. And they go, okay, I guess I trust you, but what the hell? Right. And so they go out and they try to Google whatever they thought they heard. You know, was it ADSSA? Well, and we should just say, listen, our calibration specialist, we're going to send it out to a calibration specialist to bring your car back into OE specs. Why are we saying ADAS? Why are we saying DVI? I'm so against the acronyms that we slush out, and we are expecting our client, yes, to know, like, and trust us, but they're still in a fog and they still really don't know inside their heart exactly what was done to their car for that number that they pay.
So may I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How long do you think it will be before ADAS, you won't be able to turn it off? It will be mandatory on cars.
To turn it off?
Well, you can still turn some of the
some options on this car thing. Most people don't play with them.
Yeah, because it's a safety item. It will be built into
Or it's a nuisance because it's beeping at me. Yeah.
We have to be ready for this.
Yeah. We have to be ready for the client to get a switch to turn it off?
No, it won't be able to switch it off.
That'll happen eventually where it allow you to.
Now, I know there's certain things. Tracy's Rogue has the lane departure warning lights or beeping that comes on. And when she first got her car, she goes, Dad, I hate this. I hate this. And she goes, and I read in the book that I could turn it off. I said, please don't. We get lazy every once in a while. We're missing things, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it really does help.
She learned to live with it. And now what, Trace? Yeah. Can't Correct. Drive without it.
Yeah.
She needs it. She wants it. And it became part of her driving world.
But it was an option. It
yes, is. Yes.
Why would we allow a safety as an option?
Yeah.
To be able to turn off a safety device that they spent millions of dollars creating and designing and implementing. I know.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a thing for quite a while.
All right. Thank you all so much. Thank you to Chris, Cloutier, Greg O'Neill for going to Australia, first of all, with no internet.
These guys are great.
Get the app. And the CEO of Jack's Tire, Steve Grossreader?
Yes.
Did I say that close or right?
Fantastic.
Thank you.
No one gets it right anyways. It'll be better.
I could listen to you all day. He was good. Give him a rating, huh? Got a 10?
Yeah. No, nope,
Steve. Dan Spiteri, franchisee who loves to do oil changes. And Will Attard, who is the manager there at your place and future franchise. This was great. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive repair business podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. Get your episodic education on the ARPN listening app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com. Also, enjoy the podcast on our Carm Capriotto YouTube channel. Carm is all for advancing the professional automotive service industry. Until next time.